KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Redwood City.
Wilmont.
Midtown, San Jose.
19th Avenue, San Francisco.
San Mateo.
Sunnyvale. Coming up, a new nonprofit is asking East Bay residents to open their homes to people in need.
People may be evicted, may be foreclosed upon, they may have lost their job, they may have had a significant medical expense, or someone has no place to turn. And we can be that place to turn.
Then we listen in on a radio diary of a young mother-to-be during the last 2 months of her pregnancy.
I want my daughter to be able to never have to want for anything, her to have her own room and be able to travel the world. And everything I wasn't able to experience, I want her to experience.
Building family today on Cross Currents. Stay with us. It's pretty common to have a roommate in the Bay Area. People move in with random Craigslist roommates all the time. But have you ever considered opening your home to a homeless stranger? A new nonprofit called Safe Time is trying to alleviate the homelessness crisis by asking East Bay residents to temporarily donate their extra bedrooms to people in need. KALW's Ariel Plotnick reports.
Two women and a little boy are sitting around a kitchen table, looking out over Wildcat Canyon in El Cerrito. A hawk perches outside the window. 5-year-old Demarie is really excited.
Yeah, he's back.
Demarie and his mom, Nikki Creer, met and moved in with Terrell Burt just yesterday. They're living together thanks to a new program called Safe Time. Safe Time matches those at risk of falling into homelessness with host families who will take them in for up to 90 days. Nikki and Terrell are amongst the first to try out the Safe Time program. The day Nikki moved in, Terrell started a diary. I asked her to read me the first entry.
Day one, June 28th. Nikki and I have met two times. Today she arrives an hour early to move in. I am not ready. Inconsiderate or super responsible? Are we compatible? I look around and register that this is not a kid-friendly house. Too much glass and pottery. In walks a petite, outgoing young woman with a tall, handsome child. Mom, can I go on that swing? Come on, Mom. Excitement and joy floods the air. We are all happy.
Nikki is 27. She is petite and wears bright, cheerful colors. She grew up in the foster care system, in and out of homelessness for most of her young adult life. Demarie sits on her lap.
He's going to kindergarten, so he's learning his letters right now. And he's not really fond of learning letters right now. He just wants to play all the time. We've been to the marina a lot since we've been here. We collected seashells. He wants to make necklaces out of them. So, yeah, that's the next thing to do on the list.
Nikki is one of more than 28,000 homeless people in the Bay Area. And right now, finding shelter is nearly impossible, according to Kelly Kettler of the San Francisco Homeless Coalition.
We have huge wait lists for everything. We have huge wait lists for housing, but we also have huge wait lists for shelters. Here in San Francisco, we have over 1,000 people on the single adult shelter wait list for a temporary bed. And so this isn't even including families and children. That's a whole nother wait list. We do need to get creative. Because right now we don't have options. The options are very limited.
And programs like Safe Time are one way to get creative. Chuck Grant, the company's CEO, says he was inspired by reading local news reporting on the homelessness crisis and decided he wanted to help.
People may be evicted, may be foreclosed upon, they may have lost their job, they may have had a significant medical expense, there may be a family separation involved, or someone, has no place to turn, and we can be that place to turn.
Safe Time vets both the hosts and the guests. They get referrals from churches and schools and make sure guests are nonviolent and non-drug addicted. But pairing people up from two different life backgrounds could make for some sticky roommate situations. Terrell, who grew up in a family that hosted homeless individuals, is trying to lay the groundwork for open communication.
It's just charming to have these two. Yeah. And that could change, right, Nikki? We could get in a big argument tomorrow. So. I want water or I don't know what. If you get mad at me for something, you have to say.
Okay.
And if I get mad at you for something, I have to say it. And then there comes not compromise.
Right, because it can't be perfect.
Cooperation.
A few weeks later, I check back in. Things seem to be going well. Terrell and Nikki keep similar hours and rarely run into each other. In fact, Nikki doesn't spend much time in the house. Though she just moved in, she is already looking for her own apartment. Terrell is loose on the move-out date, but SafeTime suggests that guests stay with hosts for up to 90 days. Many homelessness navigation programs also use the temporary 30, 60, or 90-day rule. The hope is, after a month or two with shelter, people like Nikki will regroup and find permanent housing. But Nikki is worried she won't find an affordable apartment.
I don't want to put myself in that predicament because then I can return to homelessness again that fast.
This fear of ending up homeless again is a real issue. Kelly explains.
Churn is where folks are, they're going into a shelter for 90 days. And people really try hard to get housing. But once again, it's limited. So then they're back out on the street. And this process of gaining some stability and then losing and just over and over, we find that people start losing hope.
So people go from program to program, shelter to shelter, finding solutions as fast as they can. While temporary programs like SafeTime are the most common way to address the homelessness issue, Kelly describes them as...
these little Band-Aids that aren't really helping. It's the respite. And that's kind of where we're at right now.
While it's not a long-term solution, many people believe a Band-Aid is better than nothing. But there are inherent problems that come with bringing only temporary balance to the usual chaos of homelessness. For one, there are lots of logistics to sort out. Securing shelter does not guarantee that it'll be easy to coordinate social services, employment, childcare, and healthcare.
It's not just housing because, like I said with the SRO, here's a room, here, go in here, is everything like perfect now? No, you still need community.
Nikki's been trying to solve the logistics puzzle all summer, driving up and down the West Coast, searching for an affordable spot that will also accept her social services. I catch up with her about a month into her stay with Terrell. She just got back from a rush trip to Seattle, where she tried to relocate, and a few long weekends in Sacramento, where she crashed with family. Terrell's with us, too.
And so how long do you think you'll be here with Terrell?
I don't know. I was going to leave actually today.
Really?
Yes, I was. Because you know why? It's just costing me a lot more money to come back and forth from Sacramento to Richmond and then not even have to go to Oakland.
So you think you might move out today? Did you know this?
No. No, it was just now, you know?
Later that afternoon, Terrell gives me a ride home and it's clear. She's confused.
I was kind of stunned by today. I really was stunned. I'm so her supporter in every way.
Uh-huh.
And I just feel like maybe she misrepresented her family situation. I mean, why are we here? So I don't know. I'm suddenly confused about what's going on.
Uh-huh.
It's still been a very positive experience.
Yeah.
The past few weeks were weighing on Terrell. She had a lot of questions. If Nikki was spending so much time in Sacramento with family, did she really need housing? What exactly was she supposed to be, a landlord or a friend? It's these issues that can come up frequently when a program doesn't have comprehensive support for hosts and guests. SafeTime has a yearly budget of only $1,500, and all the employees are volunteers.
I think an important piece for this program, from what I'm getting about, is like connecting hosts with each other, to be having support networks and really trying to integrate everyone that's in there. And so that then folks aren't just going through this alone and sharing different experiences.
A few days after that drive home with Terrell, Nikki moved out. She's now living in Sacramento, searching for a job. Terrell took in two new SafeTime guests. SafeTime has 6 active hosts and has housed around 10 people so far. Their wait list is already starting to grow. For Cross Currents, I'm Arielle Plotnick.
If there's a story about homelessness or housing you'd like to hear, contact us at housing@klw.org. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Jakari Bakum was just 5 days old when she was placed in foster care. Her childhood and adolescence were tough, shuffling between foster homes, watching her mom go on and off drugs, even spending some time in the juvenile justice system. As a young adult, she turned her life around. Now at 22, she's in college and pregnant, and Jakari's determined to make a better life for her baby than the one she had. KALW's Jeremy Ju gave Jakari a recorder near the end of her pregnancy. Here's the radio diary they created.
Today is April 13th at around 10 p.m. I just got out the bathtub. One of my nightly routines, it helps me with my pregnancy as far as my back pains, and helps me relax. It seems like as I get further and further along in my pregnancy, things just are really intense, and I'm really tired half of the time. It is 11:45 p.m. I'm up with heartburns really bad, but I'm like dozing off, and I have to sit up because when I lay down, it gets worse. So that's what I'm going through right now at almost 12 o'clock at night. Other than that, today my day was pretty good. Pretty chill, didn't do too much. Went to my grandma's house, chill with her, and also went to church. So that's what my day have consisted of. Now I just want to go to sleep, but I can't. Just left the doctor's office. The baby is doing good. I'm gaining weight. The baby's healthy. I can't wait to meet her. Running, doing some errands to prepare for my baby shower, which is in another week or so.
We're at Jakari's baby shower. I'm her mother.
Yeah, I'm Jakari Barkham's grandmother.
Just real proud of her accomplishments up to now. She's just been doing a great job, going to school, getting straight A's.
She's come a long ways, and she's just doing wonderful. And she's going to make a terrific mom.
The baby shower, it turned out to be really nice. The first celebration I've had since I was 1 year old, so it was actually something new for me, and I felt really loved and appreciated. I was in the foster care system at 5 days old. My mom doesn't remember anything because she was on drugs. I was placed with a foster mother, which has been in my life till this day now, and that's who I look up to. I actually call her my grandmother. My mom said she tried to use drugs the whole time to, like, hopefully lose me or whatever. So she calls me her miracle child because, like, she was on, like, crack and stuff like that. So she said the only thing she remembers is her doing drugs right before her water broke. My mom got me back at 8 months old, but kept on relapsing. So I wound up going back into the system, and I had about maybe 3 other foster parents. A couple of years ago, I forgave my mom for everything. You know, at the end of the day, I have to notice, like, my mom is a human being, and all I can do is appreciate that my mom's not on drugs anymore. Before I got pregnant, like, I was smoking marijuana. Like, that was something that temporarily numbed me. So I'm like, you know, like, Lord, like, bless me. Like, I know maybe a child wasn't the best thing, but I feel like it was the best thing for me to really stop smoking and you know, really get some vision of what was going on in my life. It's no more going backwards, you know. It's only keeping forward and, you know, try to do whatever I can do to be successful for me and my daughter.
It is 8:48. I'm currently watching Rocco's Life cartoon. Kind of irritated and tired of being alone. I'm just ready for my daughter to get here so I don't be so bored and so alone. So that's where I kind of am right now. Kind of emotional. And I'm just hoping for better days.
Currently on my way to school with my mom. She's dropping me off. Say hi, Mom.
Hello.
It is 10:18 and I am in English class right now.
So it's not just about just reading the book and knowing what happens in the book, but it's about thinking and relating what's in the book, what's in the story, to real life, to yourselves, you know, how change can happen, how you can become a different kind of person, a different kind of human being.
It is around 1 o'clock p.m. I am currently meeting with my youth advocate. Hi, I'm Canelia. We are doing our beginning of the week check-in to see if I need support with anything as of this week.
Were you able to discuss what you're going to do moving forward after the baby comes?
I'm only going to take 2 courses next semester, so it's about 6 units.
And it wouldn't affect your financial aid or anything, even though you're taking only 6 units?
No, because actually, since I'm in the foster care funding program for college students, as of next semester, I will only have to take 4 units to be eligible for full financial aid due to my circumstances.
It is 8:15 p.m. Today has been pretty complicated for me. I've been really emotional and haven't really felt supported today. My mom has been being really mean to me. I've been talking to a female for about 3 years, and our relationship was really close. You know, we've been through a lot, and she's older, but I mean, she was willing to be here for the baby and be a part of our life and stuff. And basically last night I had texted her and told her, you know, I appreciate it if she'll just tell me, you know, things for what it is and just let me know what's going on or what's up, you know, so I won't be like hoping and wishing for something that isn't there. So today we talked and she told me like we'll never be able to be together again. Like, so I'm really feeling down. I had a couple of breakdowns today. Which I'm trying my best not to stress too much and cry and be down, because I do have a child inside of me that I have to keep healthy. So it's just kind of hard for me. And school is like my getaway. School is out in 2 days. So I don't know what I'm going to be able to do. I just hope things get better. And, you know, I've been praying, asking God to just help me get some acceptance around some things and try my best to just move on with my life and be the best parent I can be to my daughter. So, Yeah, we'll see how tomorrow goes, but today has been really tough for me. It is 11:46 p.m. I'm just now getting settled. I had a doctor's appointment today. Everything went good. I'm about to be 38 weeks, so today we're talking about if she doesn't come within the next 2 weeks, then I'll have to get induced. So hopefully she just comes. You know, it's going to be, you know, a beautiful thing to see my own creation, like my own child. Like, I'm going to go to, like, some Mommy and Me classes, and I'm going to get my library card so I can go up there every week and get her new books so I can read to her, because I have to learn how to bond with her. And I just want to be the best parent I can be. I want my daughter to be able to never have to want or need for anything. So, and I want to be able to buy property for us and her to have her own room and be able to travel the world and be able to take certain, you know, classes, be able to get her in, like, gymnastics, swim classes, like, everything I wasn't able to experience, I want her to experience. I'm excited, and like I said, this is a journey of life, a whole different new journey of life, and I'm just going to have to figure out how to juggle with everything, school, then an on-call job, and her, and it's just going to be, I feel like I'm going to get overwhelmed at times, but, I mean, nothing in life comes easy, especially, you know, when you want something that's worth having.
That story was produced by KLW's Jeremy Jew. On June 23rd, Ja'Kari Baucom gave birth to a healthy baby girl. And that brings us to the end of today's show. The Cross Currents team includes Atemu Atan, Nina Gensler-Debs, Angela Johnston, Amber Miles, Lisa Morehouse, Marissa Ortega-Welch, Stephen Short, Jackie Sajiko, and Josh Wilson. Our engineers are Gabe Graben and James Rollins. The line producer is Hannah Kingsley-Ma. Our managing editor is Jen Chien. News director is Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. Today's local music is by East Bay rappers Bang Data. Their new album release party is this Friday at the New Parish in Oakland. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba. Ella quiere amar sin descansar, pero no me da oportunidad. Me muerdo la lengua, no voy a hablar. Ella es multigusto galáctica. Uno después del otro nunca está feliz. Siento dolor cuando te veo así. Deja de hacernos daño y ven a mí. Mi boca quiere sabor a ti.